Welcome to Low Standards and Pours. It is Wednesday, August 12th, 9:03, starting right, not on time. I am your host with the mostest, Eric. We have no idea what we're talking about tonight. We are going to completely wing it, and we are going to just make it super interesting. I hope everybody's enjoying the show so far, and I have no idea what we're talking about.
Did you say something about super interesting?
Yeah.
Who have you been talking to and what have you been smoking?
You're not kidding, man. Jeez, what a lousy intro that was.
I only caught the last end of it, and I'm like, you're full of shit, and I love you. Hey, you know, that's how it's going to work. I'm just going to be over here making noise.
Yeah, what is that? Popcorn going on?
No, I was moving little tables out here on the cement in the backyard. I don't know. Can you hear any music in the background here?
Yeah. Is that Staying Alive?
No, it's Six and the Sevens.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Good choice. I got the thing going on in the background, and I thought, you know, as long as it's not overpowering, it might be kind of cool to have some tunes in the background.
Yeah, a little background music going back to the roots. To the roots.
The roots. Like from when we were actually going to see music and stuff together and being silly and fun.
You know, it's crazy to think that it's probably going to go on a year and a half with no live concerts, no nothing.
I just don't.
Not happy about it. Not happy.
No.
I have a feeling it's going to be come 2021. It's not going to be cleared up. I think we're still going to have a problem with concerts. Maybe not so much outdoor concerts, but definitely indoor venues.
I think, you know, if we actually can piece this together. Oh, I'm getting an echo now.
Oh, are you?
Did you do the thing that you normally have to stop and do within the first 2 minutes of us talking? Did you do that thing yet?
What did I do?
I don't know. A lot of times at the very beginning of these things, you kind of like pause for a minute and then putz around with something on the computer, and then I sound louder when I listen to it later.
No, you sound pretty loud right now, but I don't know.
I'm obnoxious. I don't know. I was getting an echo. Maybe it was just a weird glitch somewhere.
Well, yeah, my speaker was on pretty loud. You're probably hearing yourself.
Well, then, yeah, you got to stop that. Cut that out.
Yeah, I turned it down.
There's fuckballs there, and she needs to hear us?
No, I don't know. She's home. I don't know what the hell she's doing.
Well, you know, it's a weeknight, so, you know, she's being doing whatever she's doing.
Right.
To be a responsible adult. If you're out there, fuckballs, we love you. Rock on, sister.
Yeah, so, rock on, fuckballs.
Here's just a smattering of thoughts that were flopping on my skull today.
I re-listened
to our very first podcast on Podbean that you uploaded.
Was it better than the ones now?
Well, that was the interview. That was the interview for what you call that thing? Hamtramck Music Festival.
Oh, John Paul?
Yeah, when we interviewed John Paul, one of the seven guys that runs the dang thing. And I got to tell you, we sounded really professional there.
Yeah, no, you guys hit it off.
Well, and, you know, I think something happened and we fell apart the last 20 shows.
Your brother's kind of a natural.
Well, he is. He's got that professional feel to him. And I got none of those genes, none whatsoever.
Yeah, he's got that radio voice. He's smooth.
Yeah, and you know he pays attention and he actually thinks things through, unlike either of us. So you know, I mean, what's the big deal?
Yeah, we're just a couple of years.
That first show was a great listen, and again, you know, I don't know how any of this is going to come together come March next year. If there's going to be a Hamtramck Music Festival, if they're going to try and do something outside, maybe a little later on, I don't know what they're going to do, but it would be a shame to not have it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you know, if COVID is still going strong and crazy and, you know, we're allowed to do outside stuff, then, you know, they should just put the bands on the street. And just rope the whole thing off. Just no cars in Hamtramck, and let's just party up and down the street. We'll make a Mardi Gras out of the thing.
Yeah, like maybe make it maybe make it where it's like five stages, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like five different stages. Pick an open spot somewhere if there is one in Hamtramck. Yeah. I don't think there is, but
yeah, well, you can block some stuff off. There's the Pope statue. There's a little bit of a area there off of Joseph Campo. There's little spots where you can throw stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just thinking out loud, and I'm just like, man, it would just suck to not be able to do that fundraiser.
No, I know. I've been thinking about the same thing. You know, we've got some concerts coming up.
Yeah.
Dead Can Dance we've got coming up, which is probably it's coming up quicker than we think, and it's probably a bigger question mark than we think too.
You said it was gonna be a Dead Can Dance was gonna be like 2021.
Yeah, but that's in April. I mean it's coming up, you know. I mean
it's 9 months.
There's COVID starting to ramp back up again, and you know, if COVID's in the same spot as it was last year in the fall, then, you know, shit, we might not be able to see Dead Can Dance, you know?
Well, small venue. You're right there, but I got a feeling we're going to have some kind of functional immunization thing going on probably by January, February. You know, they're doing some good testing on some, there's like four or five different companies that have something going on that are into like stages two and three of testing and actually looking for live bodies to start putting some stuff into and see if it works the way they're seeing that it's already starting to work from their previous testing. You know, they're starting to do, double, triple blind, whatever the crap they do. But, you know, all the scientific smarty pants stuff that got rid of polio, they're going to start doing that.
Right.
Pretty soon. And I got a feeling that, you know, if they do this right, there's a way that we're going to be able to get something probably by February of next year.
I hope so. I hope so.
I don't know. Yeah, I hope so too. But, you know, I also look at it as people got to get back to work. There's too much goofy shit going on. And, you know, there's a ton of people who can't work from home, but you know, some of those, there's got to be a way to get around some of this stuff.
Right.
I mean, have we learned nothing from wear a mask? Wear a mask, wear a mask, wear a mask. There's got to be
Wear a mask. I wash my hands about 47 times a day, and I wear my mask. I don't know why people bitch about it so much. I still think they should shut down the entire United States for a month. Like, everybody wear a mask. Nobody go out. Whatever. If anybody's got symptoms, get them tested. Get them in. And whatever, and maybe that might, crush the spread of it a little bit.
It would be that easy, just shut down everything for a month like China did. Basically lock down. Everybody has to stay inside. Screw you. You're not going anywhere. But that's not going to work with the American people. We're too much independent jackasses.
No, I know, but I'm saying
that. I like being the independent jackass, but I get to where you're going. Hey, Emilio, sorry. Thanks for joining us, brother. Or sister. I don't know. I'm gender fluidish today. I don't care. I'm actually beer fluidish.
Too bad Fuckballs isn't on. She likes guys named Emilio. She really does.
She likes guys named Emilio.
Yep, Emilio.
Interesting.
Yep.
Good for her.
Yep. Where are you from, Emilio?
That's not what I said.
I don't know. I wasn't listening.
Oh, we're going to make
it. I'm still hungover from last Sunday.
Jesus, what did you do? Oh, God.
That was NyQuil and a couple 3-4 clear beers, and I was going down for the count.
Well, but see, you threw the NyQuil in there first, and that's just not right.
That keeps me from coughing, and then I washed it down with a couple clear beers, and next thing I know, I was seeing Jesus.
And did Jesus have anything nice to say this time?
No, he didn't.
Last time you saw him, he was holding your hair back.
Yeah. Well, what little hair I got left.
Right. Or you were holding his hair back. I can't remember which way it was.
Something like that.
Yeah,
Big J.
Yanking on his ponytail. that was one of the things I wanted to throw your way. I was thinking of What was the other thing? With this Lord and Master trying to get himself onto Mount Rushmore.
Yeah.
Is that hilarious or what?
How narcissistic is that?
No, not at all. You know, and
I still think I keep talking about this with people, and I mark my words, Bill, I think there's going to be mayhem if he gets elected in one more term. I think it's going to, people are going to be burning cities, burning some couches, barns, buses,
yeah,
whatever.
There's going to be something going on, and
people are going to be not happy. But learning is too is that I don't think Biden's got it in the bag by any means, and I don't think.
Oh no, he's got to work for it, and yeah. I want him to work for it. He picked the chickie, what's her name, Harris,
yeah,
for running mate, and I don't know a lot about her, but I Neither do know she gave him a hard as hell. She gave him a hard as hell time, and she gave Biden a hard time at the debates and stuff just recently,
yeah.
And really called him on the carpet. And I will say this, in as much as I'm not super excited about either of these pansies running for office and or their running mates, I don't know enough about her, and I know enough about Pence to know that that man should not be allowed to run the dog catchers. But regardless, the thing I will give Biden credit for is understanding that the vice president position is a balance. And, you know, hey, you gave me a hard time at the debates and you called me out on some things and you made me think about stuff. That's what I want as a vice president. Someone who's going to call me out and reel me in when I need to get reeled in. Remind me of what's important. And if those two work well together.
Right.
I'm less not excited about them if they figure out a way to work well together. And I got to watch, you know, I got to see her. I'd like to see her debate Cheese Dick McGee or whatever, Pence, whatever his name is. I'd like to see that vice presidential debate and just see who comes out on understanding what's going on, who
right.
has a rational thought process, you know, who's going to be a little scrappy. And if she's scrappy enough to keep the old fart in check as his vice president, I might really be kind of excited about this, that, you know, finally we could get some adults in the office.
No, I agree, and I think he'll be a good representative. You know, I haven't really thought him all that much, but, you know, I keep hearing about how possibly dementia or Alzheimer's set in. The guy doesn't make a lot of sense.
Well, right.
I don't know.
For both of those guys.
Yeah.
Quite frankly,
yeah.
I think it's for both of them.
Yeah.
One of them is more dementia. The other one is more narcissist dementia. But either way, they're, you know, but no, I'm sorry. I totally interrupted. Go ahead. Finish your thought.
Go ahead. I just had a client just call me. I'm just texting him back really quick. So I've got two closings tomorrow. I'm just making sure that he's all set to go. So feel free to discuss
second. The fact that shit's pulling together for you.
Well, so far so good. Yeah, I mean it's been a good market.
Are these closings for purchases where you're representing as a realtor, or purchases that you're representing as a loan officer?
I've had a little bit of both. I've had some listings, and I've had some worked as a buyer's agent and stuff. You know, there's a big problem going on is that people are too influenced by Zillow and Realtor.com, and you know they do help us out in a way. Yeah, they do help us out in a way, but on the flip side, I think they do. They create a lot of uncertainty because they think because they see it on Zillow or they see it on Realtor.com or Trulia or whatever that it's the truth. And I'm like, you know, you have to explain to them, you know, there's a difference between Zillow and the MLS and what I do every day, and it's almost like you're calling them out because you have to convince them that, you know, Zillow gets their information from us and it's not always accurate, and they manipulate information to kind of fill their voids. And, you know, you have to rely on a real estate agent and a good one to represent you and represent you in the right way. You know, there's a lot of people.
Go ahead.
No, I was just saying there's a lot of people. I'll tell you a short story, a super short story.
Before you go to the Superstore story, I wanted to just say this, that, you know, Zillow and Realtor.com and those things, they are essentially an index. They're a starting point. It's to give you an idea of what's going on. And then you turn to the professionals and go, all right, now what's the reality? I have a rough idea of what's going on now, and it'll give you some pointers and tips or whatever. Or, you know, here's a ballpark. Your house could be worth $200,000, but we're not for sure. And then you go to the realtor and you find out, well, it's worth $198,000 or it's worth $228,000. You don't know.
That's the problem.
And those automatic computer system stuff are great for getting you started. It is the Wikipedia of research. I want to look stuff up. I'm going to start with Wikipedia and get some ideas. I'm going to start with Zillow and get a clue as to what's going on. And then you go into the details, and that's where you get a professional. I'm done with my sales pitch.
Yeah, you know this as well as I do. Basically what it is, this is the gist of it, is that, and like I said, you know as well as I do, people watch, you know, they read Zillow and they read everything else, and they see this, this Zillow estimate, or Zestimate, they call it. And they're saying, oh, my house is worth $300,000. But you show them all the comps and you tell them why it's not worth $300,000, and they're upset at you because Zillow says it's worth $300,000.
Then Zillow was using the three houses next door that were, you know, 1,000 square feet bigger than yours.
Exactly. Yeah. And it kind of almost automatically discredits us, I guess, in a way, you know, or it allows them to question us and our ability to be a thorough realtor.
And you then have to work harder because they're believing something that's not necessarily true.
Yeah. And it's funny how people believe what they read, but they don't take it from, you know, they don't believe it from the source. It's the people that know the most. It's kind of interesting, you know?
Right. And that's what, you know, you look at, we'll throw a different parallel at it, and I'm not going to get in deep, but you look at science. These are people that, you know, geologists who do their shit all the time. Okay, the planet is about 4.5 billion years old. We verified that 17 ways to Sunday. But you get these psychos who come in here and think they know everything because they read one book that was, you know, published by IRC, Institution for Creation Research.
Right.
And they say that the Earth was created 6,000 years ago and there was a huge flood 4,400 years ago where only 8 people survived. And yet evolution isn't true.
Yeah, right.
Well, a bottleneck of 8 people who survived means the entire human race is dead.
Yeah.
2 of each animal survives, everything's dead.
Right.
That's a genetic bottleneck you don't recover from.
Sure.
I'm sorry. Sure. I don't care what you say. But, you know, and that's where you go, all right, well, okay, here's a starting point. And let me find out what's real and what's not real. And you compare and contrast and you grow up and you look and you learn and you figure stuff out. And some things make sense intuitively and some things you think are intuitive. And then you realize, holy that's not right at all.
Right. Let me ask you.
Yeah, go ahead.
Not trying to change the subject, but how do you feel about Big Ten sports, football and stuff coming back in the fall? I don't think they may have just made a decision, have they?
They're not.
They're not coming back as of right now?
Well, I know the Mac isn't, and we found that out like Monday or Sunday.
Oh, okay. Well, if the Mac's not coming back, then that probably.
And Big Ten, I think they decided in the last 2 or 3 days. Excuse me, I got the hiccups tonight. Sorry if that offends anybody, but, you know, there's only like one other person listening who's not related to us, so it doesn't matter. If it offends you, then, you know, just hang up on me.
We love you, Emilio. Thanks for listening.
Sorry, Emilio. Yeah, this show is all about Emilio today. Today,
it is.
This show is dedicated to Emilio.
If Emilio wants to call
the myth, the legend. Well, it's okay. Whatever Emilio wants to do, if he just wants to hear my beautiful voice babbling on about incessant stupid shit, he's perfectly fine with that. If he wants to hear Eric's abrasive pile of shit voice, that's totally fine too. Actually, I meant it the other way around, but that's okay.
Yeah, no, I got it.
Whatever came, you know, and you know, Sunday night you can do the same thing to me, and I'll just laugh and chuckle. So it's all about Emilio today.
It is.
This not Emilio Estevez, is it?
Could be.
Oh, I bet it is.
You never know.
Super famous, doesn't want to share in with Ryan.
Kind of quiet over there.
Doesn't want to be a part of, you know, this twisted little thing. He wants to just kind of listen back and just, oh, yeah, I'm kind of enjoying what's going on. These guys are normal people, and I'm a superstar, so I'm just going to relax and listen. I get it. I'm with you, Emilio, Mr. Estevez. I'm going to call you that every time now. You're famous. You're a rock star.
What was I going to ask you?
A lot of Coors already.
You're drinking Coors?
Well, yeah, you know, this is hilarious. So last night I got home from work and I'm exhausted and wiped out and I'm like, I'm going to have a beer. And I reach in the fridge and I grab a beer and I realize it's the Labatt Blue non-alcoholic beer that I bought like 2 weeks
ago. Oh, yeah.
And I open it up. I'm like, as the first beer of the night, it's not horrible.
Right, right. Kind of primes the pipes a little bit.
It's sort of like it's sort of like drinking water with some dust in it.
Right, right.
Not a lot of flavor, but it's more than water.
Well, you know, those things are good. Like, you know, if you're going to go out and, like, you don't want to drink and drive, you want to be social and look social, you know, the taste makes you feel like you're, you know.
Well, the taste is sort of like, this is a shitty beer.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind
of
like.
Thinking to myself, I got to find a good non-alcoholic beer because I love the taste of beer. That's good beer. And I was telling my wife was laughing at me the other, kicking me in the pants or something the other, like 2 weeks ago, and said, you know, you're an alcoholic, psycho, babble, jackass. And I'm like, well, yeah, you're probably right. So that's when I had the thought, I should, let's at least try something where I love the taste of whiskey. I love the taste of scotch. I don't care if it's got alcohol in it or not. I just like the taste.
Right, right.
And so, you know, I try this non-alcoholic beer, and it's just like, it's just something missing. Apparently, the booze makes it taste good.
Yeah,
so I got to keep
trying
a bunch of different brands, and I'll find the right thing that's relatively decent. That doesn't taste like, you know, powdered water.
Yeah, I'm trying to find
water. What would you add? Right.
Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. No,
I'm trying to find the right balance. You know, the right balance of booze. I have a tendency. I have a four drink problem. Like, I want to drink like one or two, but then once I get to one or two, I have one more. We did this the other night. We went down off downtown Plymouth and sat down. It was like three of us or four of us total that were just kind of talking about work and stuff. And you know, it's like one. The first two down really quick. And then you're like, do you want another one? I don't know. Do you want another one? We know the answer, right? Sure, three. We know we're going to four.
Yes.
Yeah, we know we're going to four. So four, and everybody's going, okay, one more, and that's it. But you get to four, that's when everything changes. It's like, all right, what do you guys want to do a shot, you know?
Yes,
and
that's
I can be careful with that. Yeah, the dogs start running after that, you know? It's like a dog with a broken chain. He just wants to run.
And I will say this about the COVID. It has kept me from going out to local places and obtaining adult beverages in local places outside where I might have to drive home.
Yeah.
And I really like the idea of sitting in my backyard and having a brew hop.
Yeah, you know, yeah.
Like, what was it? Monday night was National S'mores Night. S'mores Day.
S'mores?
And so, yeah, s'mores. As in, you know, graham crackers and marshmallows and chocolate.
Yeah.
So I started the bonfire up with the, you know, solid real wood and just and the five of us just sat around and made s'mores and relaxed.
Right.
You know, my wife and I were having a little bit of adult beverage and the kids were making the s'mores and it was just a nice, relaxing in the backyard, wonderful evening. And it's just nice. And I like the fact that I finally got to have an evening with all the kids together because the very next day, my middle one goes back to work in a different city. And gotcha. She's all gone. So it was nice to hang out and be fun together and do that stuff. So,
well, you know, it's a positive thing that can come out of COVID, you know, it forces families to be home and have dinner together. When I grew up, I mean, dinner was religiously about a half hour after my dad got home, but he used to get home at sometimes four, well, I shouldn't say four, sometimes like 5:30, 6, 7, depending on where he was working.
How busy he was.
We always waited for him, and it was always about a half hour. Let him get home, you know, get situated, have a little small little shot and break open his beer. And then I'd always make the salad and set the table. And but we did that pretty religiously. And I don't know if there's a lot of people that still do that. A lot of families that still do that. I don't know. Everything's still on the go. You know, I'll eat on the way home. And, you know,
we don't do it as much as I'd like to. You know, I'd really like to be doing it more often. But again, I'm not home till 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock at night sometimes.
Right, right. Just,
at a certain point, it's like too late to eat. Everybody else has been home for, you know, hours. Well, all day because of COVID. And so it's like, how do you balance that out where you get to have some family time if one of you is working?
Right, right.
And I guess that's not even just a COVID question. That's just a regular life question.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and I sometimes, you know, and again, you know, I mean, you know my story. I traveled a lot for a long time when the kids were young, so I missed out on a lot of shit.
Yeah, you're just happy to be home with your kids.
I am, you know, and even now that I'm happy to be home with the kids, they're grown up and doing their own shit.
Yeah.
You know, my son is at work. He won't be home for another 20 minutes or so. And then, you know, the rest of them are doing their other stuff. And, you know, they're all grown up. And it's like, this is ridiculous. I didn't get to have any, you know, that family time that I loved so much when I was growing up. But I also look at it, well, you know what? These kids had a stable growth. They're a stable childhood.
Yeah.
Because, and as crazy as it was for me, always trying to find work and traveling all around the country because of work, they always had a place to live. They always had food to eat. They always got to wear clothes. And their mother was home.
Right,
and
right.
Because of that, they had that, at least the stability. And, yeah, I missed out on a lot. Fine. You know, there's my sacrifice. That's what makes me the dad.
Yeah.
I listened to you ever used to watch the Late Late Show with Craig Ferguson?
Oh yeah, it was hilarious. I'm surprised he didn't last. He was on for quite a few seasons, but I thought he was funnier than shit.
9 years.
Is that how long he was on for?
He was.
That's not a bad run. It's not a bad run.
It's not a bad run.
I still need Letterman. Letterman's my Carson. I grew up with Carson, and Letterman was my second favorite, but. I love Letterman's humor, his style, his sense of humor.
Well, you know, and again, I like Letterman too. He's all right. But what I really enjoy Ferguson because he's unscripted completely.
Right, right.
And I've been listening to a lot of his stuff throughout the day. There's somebody who puts it up on YouTube, and I listen to all his interviews with Paul Rudd or all his interviews with, whoever. And, you know, he's hilarious with these people, right? And his monologues, it's all unscripted. He just goes up there and does his thing because he's just that brilliant. And having been an alcoholic and recovered and gone through a lot of stuff, and, you know, I remember, actually, I was listening to it today and tearing up while I'm doing my work. I'm listening to him talk about, because I heard he did an interview with Pollock, the other comedian, what's his name, Pollock, who was in All the Right Men or something like that. A few
years ago. I know.
You know what I'm talking about. Kevin Pollock.
The short dude?
Yeah, the little short dude. So
he
did a long interview with him, and he was talking about the fact that when he went to do his show, like his dad had passed away on Saturday or Sunday and he had to do his Monday night show. And he went to do it and he's like, you know, I can't just ignore all this and do fart jokes. I have to be honest with the people, what's going on. And then, you know, he talks about this with the interview with Kevin Pollock. And then I'm like, you know what? I'm going to find it. And so as soon as the Kevin Pollock interview was done, I go and I pull it up and it's a two-part monologue where he talks about his dad, and he gives a eulogy for his father as the monologue, and it's funny.
Really?
It's funny, it's tasteful, it's heartwarming, and I'm like, he was only on the show for like a year or so, not even, and he did this, and it's like, this is part of the reason why he was so good is because he was so honest. And he, you know, you watch him and you're like, he's a real guy. He's going through all this shit, and I've been through this shit or whatever, and it's like you can identify with him right away. But his, he's funny, he's silly, he's goofy, and he's straightforward, honest. It's just and honestly, I dig the guy tremendously. But I look at it as, you know, like, am I going to ever be the type of father that my kids would give this type of eulogy for? Not that my kids are ever going to be on national television or whatever, but would my kids be as thoughtful of giving me a eulogy of that magnitude? And honestly, you know what's one of these times we'll figure out a way or you got to listen to him do this. And it is, it's like I said, it's hilarious. It's heart-wrenching, and it's meaningful and fun, and he keeps your interest. It's not like some sad thing.
And, right.
And I'm like, you know, I hope my kids can do something like that for me, and just have some fun and drink a fifth of scotch and whatever. I know I'm babbling again.
No, I've been to a handful of funerals in the last few years. You know, we're all getting that age where our parents are getting older and they're passing away. But there's some of my friends that have gotten up and given great eulogies, and there's some that haven't, you know, they haven't done it at all. I was one of them that didn't do it. But, you know, unfortunately, it's like, you know, my dad and I didn't see eye to eye for many years, and I don't know why. It was some kind of beef that he had. But I really wasn't sure what to say. I wanted to say something, but I don't know. I felt it was.
Well, and sometimes,
you know.
Well, you know, and I've done the. I spoke one of my five fathers, because you know how you grow up with your neighbor's dad, your neighbor kid, his dad, or your best friend in high school, his dad is sort of your second dad or whatever. That sure. kind of thing. So. I actually got up and talked because one of my buddies, well, you met Chris. He was on our show before. One of my high school buddies, his dad was another dad for me.
Yeah.
You know, his mom is still another mom for me. I don't get to see her very often, but, you know, we're still keeping in contact. So I got up there to talk because, you know, his dad made me part of the family more or less. You know, I know all of my buddy's cousins, and I know his uncles and all that stuff. And it was just a wonderful time to sit there and try and do this right. And I still stepped on it.
Yeah.
And I had to have one of the uncles kind of come help me. But, you know, you got to try, right? You just got to try.
Yeah. It's I don't know. It's been 5 years. It'll be 5 years. Yeah, 5 years since Thanksgiving. My dad's been gone, but so my mom's gonna be tough. That's gonna be a tough one. But I don't know if I can do it with my mom either.
You didn't say anything for your dad.
What's that?
You didn't say anything for your dad's.
No. You know, I just it was confusing times. You know, it was he didn't say some nice things to me, and I didn't understand why he said those. I think my dad, and going back into if you talk to my cousins and stuff, we all had similar paths. So we all left the house early because we didn't understand the way our fathers acted. But they were all hardworking. I mean, talking about 7 days a week, you know, 4 weeks out of the month. Big drinkers, big partiers, card players, horse race guys. They're all very, very similar. Yeah,
I know the time.
It was a no no bullshit way of growing up. You know, if my dad asked me to do something and I didn't do it, my ass was grass. There was no trying to talk out of it. You know, my dad said, my dad was famous for, like, on a Thursday, he'd tell me, okay, don't make any plans for the weekend. I got you the whole weekend. That meant, okay, we're going to work around the house, cut the lawn, blah, blah, blah. That means from 9 o'clock in the morning till about dinner time, I've got you, you know? Yeah. It wasn't every weekend, yeah. But when he needed stuff done, he wanted me to be there, and I did. Yeah. And that's the way that's kind of the way I feel today. And I'm not, you know, I'm not that regimented, but, you know, I talk to some people I know that got kids, and, you know, they're like, I remember I was talking to, I'm not going to mention any names, but he's like, well, I got to hurry up and get home and cut the lawn because we're taking off and going up north or whatever for the weekend. And I'm like, well, why don't you get your son to cut it? And he's, you know, cut the lawn. And he's like, do you think I get my son to cut the lawn? And I'm like, well, if it was my family, he'd be cutting the lawn right now. He wouldn't be asking. He'd just be cutting it, you know? Right. Well, I don't know why people get away with it. I get it's a different way of – it's a different time these – you know?
You know what's funny is because my dad was always the one who cut the lawn.
Yeah,
Getting feedback again. You got the speaker turned up?
No. Right. I didn't turn you up. And I'll push you farther away.
All right. But so my dad would work a lot. He'd go to work at 5:30 in the morning, and he'd get home around 5 at night.
Yeah.
And you know, dinner was ready, and then we'd have dinner, we'd sit down, and he'd go outside after dinner, and he'd cut the lawn.
And yeah.
He was the guy who would sit, he would be on his hands and knees, and he would edge with scissors.
Right.
I told you.
You go around the weeds out too, the weeds out one at a time?
The weeds out one at a time. But to him, it was, and I understood this early on.
Therapeutic.
It was very therapeutic.
Get
him, you know, working at a computer for a long time, just paperwork all day. And then, you know, working on a computer and stuff later on. But it was his way of connecting with the land. His way of connecting with what's around him. And there were very few times growing up that I was allowed to cut the lawn. Because he was like, this is what I want to do. And he would just do that. And I find I'm very similar to that. And, you know, today I got home from work at like 6:30, and I got out, cut the lawn, and just did the things that I like to do, watering the flowers and just, you know, putzing around and plucking something and, you know, cleaning up and pulling a weed here and there. And
but your house is kind of like your temple, right? I mean, you guys work hard for that house, and you raised a family in that house, and that's the way you kind of relax. It's kind of your temple, right?
Mm-hmm. It's my little place.
Yeah. No, I'm dying to get a house. I got to get out of this damn condo. I don't know. I'm waiting for the market.
You got to really deal with that condo.
No, I know. I've got till next August or next summer, and he's put it on the market.
All right.
So,
well, I mean, and you could still buy that, and that'd be your place.
Yeah. No, I could.
But
I could.
You don't have to worry about a lawn.
No, I know. But you know what? I like having that, you know, the ability to have people over and, like you said, have like a barbecue or a fire pit in the backyard and play the music loud and, you know, maybe sit in the garage and watch TV and watch a football game and, you know, that kind of stuff. I'm 35 years old, so.
Yeah.
I'm not backing down from that.
You're still 35?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. 35 plus 15.
Mm-hmm. I'm actually there, too, with you.
It is
nice to be able to sit back and have that fun in the evening and just throw a fire on in the backyard and shoot the shit with the kids and whatever, or friends or what have you.
Yeah, I've called you many times. You're down the street hanging out with neighbors and, you know, cracking cold.
Pre-COVID, of course. Oh, it's all pre-COVID stuff. But, there's something very therapeutic about just being in a little neighborhood and having something.
Yeah. I used to love getting up. I'd get up early in the morning. This is like, you know, you always edge the lawn every other time. You know, you cut the lawn. You cut the lawn one way. You cut the lawn the opposite way, you know, perpendicular the next time. And, you know, I used to water all the plants and stuff for my mom. But I remember, I mean, it was a big deal for me because it felt like it was my house, you know. And the street that we lived on, we competed, but everybody
had some skin in the game.
Yeah, everybody wanted to keep up and say, well, You know, I don't want the shittiest looking house on the block. Better make sure and go out there and trim our shrubs or, you know, put the mulch in or whatever. And we had a beautiful looking block growing up, you know. Everybody took care of their yards, you know.
And there's something to that. There's something about the community of that. Of
yeah.
Everybody kind of, and, you know, at a certain, and we still have it now, even with the COVID. I'll be out there mowing the lawn. The guy across the street's out mowing his lawn. Big wave. Hey, how you doing? And then we're both done. And then
nice lawnmower.
There's been a couple times where we've, you know, taken chairs over and sat at the edge of the driveway and, you know, 12 to 14 feet apart and just had a couple of beers and shooting the shit together. You know, and just kind of reconnecting. And I think that's what's got to happen really soon is we've got to figure out a way that we can all kind of reconnect again, because I mean, it's terrible not being able to hug your cousins or hug your aunts and uncles and that you haven't seen for a while, because, you know, and like I said, when I went to that funeral for my cousin a couple weeks ago, it was horrible. Yeah. I mean,
I bet.
Because everybody was so spread apart, and it was like, you felt guilty if you gave somebody a hug because, you know, it's like, we're not supposed to be touching.
Right, right.
And it's just, it's got to be soon that we can get back to a normal, because we are social animals.
Yeah.
We just are. And there's a connection that's been missing for the last 5 to 6 months because of this stupid shit.
I can't imagine this. It almost feels like it's going to be forever, you know?
Well, you know, and here you are. Going out and talking to people for helping them get in homes and stuff like that.
Yeah, kind of show homes and
service. And you can't shake hands. You can't touch people. And you're missing the connection.
I get there early and I wash my hands and I let them see that I'm washing my hands. And when I leave, I wash my hands and, you know, the best I can, I, you know, get in my car, I rub a little bit of, you know, the hand sanitizer. Probably doesn't do shit, but, you know, I got to do it, you know, so I don't wipe it all over my car. You know, I do the best I can, knock on wood. I haven't had any problems yet, but, you know, I can't imagine what it's going to be like. If this keeps going on, doesn't stop, it's going to get silly. I don't know.
There's a connection that's missing, even in just business transactions, if you can't shake a hand.
Yeah.
You know, because, again, we're social animals. We are, you know, we're not picking fleas off of each other or anything like monkeys, but
no,
we're not grooming each other, but there's still that lack of contact makes a difference in our lives. And it's
like, sure.
It's unsettling, I guess, well, is the way to put it.
Yeah. There's a video out on YouTube. It's been out for years and supposedly it wasn't set up, but it was, the name of the video was called First Kiss, I think.
Oh, okay.
Did you see that? And there was like, I'm going to say 12 strangers that all came into a room and they were filmed. So 6 women, 6 males, 6 men, and they were kind of paired off and they were asked to kiss each other and they all agreed to it. I don't know how many people it took to get to this point, but it looked a little bit set up. Okay. You know, I had the young kid and the older woman, like, you know, older. And, it had the lesbians and couple gay guys. And so it was kind of set up, but it was an interesting thing about, and if it was true, it seemed interesting, is that these people got together and kissed each other. And there was like an instant bond, so to speak. I don't know if it's true or not, if these were people who were strangers or not. But the idea behind it is interesting. You know, it's like, you know,
there's a connection.
Going into a store and there's 6 women there and you kiss them. There's a bond that could potentially happen just by that touch, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, hey, can you put on 6 and 7s for some, for a station identification so I can pick up a clear beer and give me like 30 seconds.
Well, why don't you go ahead and do what you got to do, and I'll just ramble for a minute.
All right, go ahead and ramble. I'll make it super quick.
Yeah. So this is Low Standards and Pores, and you've joined us for our podcast, which is a little crazy, a little freewheeling tonight. And we're just rambling on about whatever jumps in our heads. And you can hear Eric in the background just babbling on, talking about something, because that's what we do. So we can be found on iTunes and Podbean, of course, because here we are now. Eventually, we're on YouTube. Some of our stuff shows up there. And what's the other one? iHeartRadio, and I Like Podcasts, and I Ramble On Podcast, and pretty much anything where podcasts can be found, we can be found. So come join us. Come hang out with us. I'm still going to mess with you, Emilio, because I see you're still there. And, you know, I have no Eric, so I should have an Emilio. Unless, of course, Eric shows up and whatever. So we were thinking that, let's see, we talked about Kamala Harris, I think that's her name. Yeah, the VP pick. Almost we'll talk back. About her. What? There's something else I wanted to bring up with you. Oh, we already talked about the Rushmore thing. Well, we kind of barely talked about the Rushmore thing. I just think
Rushmore?
Oh. Yeah, I just think
talking about the Russians. You know, the Russians supposedly came up with a cure for COVID they're testing right now.
Yeah, I heard about that on the radio.
That's just Putin trying to get his hands on some money. That's all.
Well, if he does, I mean, if there's an actual something there, then there's actually something there. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, we'll see.
The facts will come out. It'll either work or it won't. But no, I just think it's hilarious that the hairpiece in chief thinks that he can be put on Mount Rushmore because he
thinks he's crazy.
I just don't understand the level of self-importance. Yeah. You know, I get that he thinks he's a brand and that he's amazing and wonderful, but I don't understand how no one in his circle of influence has said to him, hey, look, you know, you need to calm it down and we're going to take the phone away from you. No more Twitter for a while.
Let me ask you this.
You're an idiot. I'm sorry.
Do you think you got to be a little bit nuts to run a nation? You know what I'm saying? I mean, I look at Clinton and Bush and Barack. I don't think they were nuts, but I don't think they had a lot of depth either. But you know, I look at Trump and he doesn't have any past political seats or anything, and he's kind of off on his own. And you know,
I think
he's running a country.
You have to be a little narcissistic. You have to be a little bit A-type personality to be able to say, I can do this. You gotta have an overabundance of confidence.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't have an overabundance of confidence. I think I could, based on what I've seen over the last 3.5 years, I could be president.
I think
so. I could probably do at least as good a job, if not better, than the monkey.
I think so.
But
yeah,
I don't want that job.
No.
You know, I already have enough gray hair.
Look at. You know what's crazy is look at, like, how long has Whitmer been in office for? 2 years? Something like that? Year?
Four?
2 years? Has she been four?
I have no idea.
I don't know. But regardless, let's call it
2.5 years. I thought she got elected when in 2016.
Oh, same time?
I think so.
You're probably right. You're probably right.
Really,
yeah, you're
sure. But you know, she's at least got a grip on reality. Yeah.
Yeah.
She's a type A personality. And I think you need that for a leader of a country or a city or something. You need that.
But look at the path that she took. Let's say she's been governor of Michigan for 4 years. Let's say she did a good job. She's got the possibility of being a VP of the president of the United States. She was a candidate for that.
Yeah, she was in the running.
Yeah, and it just goes to show you that I'm not saying it's easy to become president, but it's certainly not impossible. You know, I look at Duggan, and I still think that there's something else beyond Detroit for Duggan. There's got to be. There's got to be. And people are saying that he was set up, you know, there was a lot of things in place before he got there, but I don't believe it. I don't believe it at all. I think he's 80% turned around Detroit. He put the right people in place and turn, it's all about the numbers. Turn Detroit right around. I'm not saying Detroit's out of the weeds, but
I think Duggan's been doing a pretty decent job of stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know a whole lot about what's going on in Detroit. I haven't had the time to pay that much of attention.
No, but you've been down there, though. I mean, you remember 20 years ago going down there for a concert. Remember going down there the last few years. It's a different city. I'm not saying it's entirely different, but
well, there's a lot of different influences there, too.
Yeah,
there's more money getting brought down there. There was, and I don't know if it was Duggan who brought, or a couple of prior mayors who brought in some of these businesses that started reinvesting into the.
Well, it's primarily Gilbert, I think. Gilbert and his investment groups. Yeah, Gilbert's got over 100 buildings right now.
Yeah, he's.
I wonder why he had a fucking stroke or heart attack.
Well, right, but he's done a whole lot, and you know, I don't personally like the guy necessarily. I've seen what his
deceptive.
I've seen some things, but I think he's got, regardless of whether he's being selfish about it or not. Did I just do that? Are you still there?
Yeah.
Okay.
But he can start catching up.
Regardless of whether he's being selfish about it or not, he's still doing what essentially seems to be the right thing for the city. And yeah, he's getting a lot out of it himself, but the city benefits.
Right.
And I think he's figured out a way to set it up so that, he gets some benefits and the city benefits from it. And it, you know, I'm torn because, like I said, I know a lot of stuff about the way his business is run. And I'm not super happy with all that. But the bottom line is a net positive for the city of Detroit.
No, I know you're going with it.
And as much as I want to sit there and badmouth the guy, I really can't because he's really done a lot. And, you know, maybe some of it's just superficial or whatever, but it really seems to have made a difference. And there's a lot of people who are benefiting.
Yeah, and it's really brought up. Millennials
the way are the way I view things is, you know, what's the action that I can take that's going to benefit the most people? And he seems to be doing that. And
yeah,
I can't argue against it. I don't know everything, but I have some preconceived notions that I should probably get rid of. But I also have this understanding that he's done a lot of good stuff for the city.
Right.
He's taken a lot of buildings and turned them around and made it so that stuff can happen in those buildings that all of a sudden, oh, well, there's jobs now. And that helps people. And excuse me, the more people that helps, the better. And I can't fault him for that.
Well, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
If you had to, would you move to Detroit?
No.
Let's say if something brought you down there, would you consider it or no?
Well, I had that opportunity because
I know you had some bad experiences down there too, but we won't get into those.
But that's not even it. I had the opportunity to work in Detroit.
Yeah.
Actually, for what's his face, and one of his companies. I'm not going to get into all those details, but.
Yeah.
I chose not to.
Yeah.
Because at the time, and this is a number of years ago, at the time I'm like, I'm not going to pay city taxes to a city that can't even manage itself.
Right,
and
right.
I don't even live in it.
Right.
And that's kind of why I think, in the back of my mind, I think, you know, it would be a good idea if the fire and city and other city services people actually lived in the city that they served.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you know, you can't necessarily mandate that because it's not always feasible. But you could incentivize it and say, you know, hey, if you're a fireman for the city of Detroit, you get some kind of benefit for buying a place in Detroit to live in the city.
And, maybe just, you know, tax break.
There's all sorts of ways to incentivize it.
Taxes in Detroit, and they're outrageous.
Yeah, but again, that's the thing is, all right, if you're gonna draw a salary to take care of the city that you're living in, then you should live in that city.
Right, right.
You know, and again, we're not going to solve all the world's problems, and it just seems to me that it would make sense to do something like that. And right. then everybody who's involved in making the city better are vested because they live in the city that they're trying to make better.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just fortunate enough myself to actually work in the city that I live in. And that's just a happenstance, and it was not for a lack of looking, I'll tell you that.
Where else would you have lived if you didn't live where you're at?
Well, we had a house further south in a different city.
You guys were Gross Point or something, weren't you?
Well, I grew up in Gross Point. We had a house in Warren that was a great little neighborhood, a lot of older folks, and we were the young couple on the street. And there was another one or two young couples on the street. It just seemed like we were out of sorts. You know, it was like it was a great place. I loved the house. It was great, and the neighborhood was good, but it just seemed there was just something
that right, was missing. Right.
And then when we moved here, where I'm at now, in a different city a little further north, it has just been wonderful.
Yeah.
The neighbors have been great. The grade school is within the neighborhood. The high school's within the neighborhood. Everything's real close, and everybody knows everybody. There's a certain something. There's a community here. And, you know, I really wish that for everybody, to have some attachment to a community. You know, my wife was in the PTA when the kids were growing up.
Yeah.
And was part of all that with the grade school. And, you know, we were still involved with high school. All the kids are in high school. And, you know, just whatever we could do, it was just like I felt like I was part of something.
Right,
and again,
right.
That goes back to us being social animals, to be part of something.
Yeah. Well, you know, maybe in a crazy way, this COVID might bring people back closer. I miss it.
Yeah, I would love for some side effect. Yeah, some side effect of this disease to be that, you know, once it's really over, people just get closer and throw away some differences and all this infighting that we've been having for the past 3.5 years kind of goes away. And I think that can happen with the change of leadership.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. It's changing times again, you know.
Yeah, you know, and every time is a great time to grow up. Every time that we've, you know, as little crazy monkeys, it's been interesting. There's always something new. There's always something good going on. There's always bad crap going on. But you can figure out a way to find the positive and find a way to positively influence those around you. It just makes life even better.
I say this. You know? If everybody did one nice gesture to somebody every day, one nice thing, the world would be a completely different place.
Hold a door for somebody.
Yeah.
You're walking it.
I do it for men, women, kids. I'll wait. Like, if they've got 20 steps and I'm at the door, I'll wait and let them walk right in.
Yeah,
you know?
It makes me feel good.
You know?
I got the little gas station around the corner where I go in and buy my gas or I pick up a snack or a coffee or something. When I'm walking out, you know, there's always somebody. There's always activity going on. There's always somebody walking in. I walk out. I hold the door. Lady, guy, black guy, white chick, black girl.
Yeah.
Whatever. Who's ever – there are other people. It doesn't,
can I ask you a question?
I don't see the fact that they're whatever color or race or gender they are.
I don't give a shit.
They're another one of my people. They're part of my clan because they're coming to my store.
Right, right. That's the way I feel too.
Yeah.
So are you a coffee snob?
A bit, yeah.
Are you? I mean, do you like the French roast, Italian roast, vanilla, you know?
I'm a Colombian.
Colombian?
Colombian,
yeah. So, do you buy the same
around the corner? Yeah, the Speedway around the corner has great Colombian. So okay. I'll buy that. But I haven't really paid for coffee in like 6 years. When I was traveling, I earned enough points with that.
Are you a Speedway guy?
Yeah, I just use my Speedway points for if I'm going to buy a cup of coffee, I'm not paying cash for it. I use my points. I got a zillion points. But
you know what?
I'll buy
Speedway's gas prices, and they're always like 3 or 4 cents higher than everybody else. That's why I don't buy Speedway gas. I'm like, I'll go buy coffee from Tim Hortons and go get my gas across the street.
But it comes down to what you like.
They're
right around the corner. But to me, I like Speedway because they don't charge me extra for using my debit card.
Right. Oh, okay. That's a big deal,
too. Cash and debit card's the same price.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's why it's 2 cents more. But lately, the price of gas, why would I drive an extra 30 feet for 2 cents a gallon? Well, I'm going to put 10 gallons in the thing.
Right.
So that's, you know, what, 20 cents?
Last you 2 weeks anyways.
Yeah, especially for me. Yeah, it lasts me forever. But I'm not going to drive anywhere to save 20 cents.
Right.
It doesn't make sense to me.
My mom goes to the corner place for gas, and she goes, you know, every time I go there, they give me some money back. And I'm like, they must really like me. I'm like, Mom, it's because they advertise credit. They advertise debit or credit prices, but she always pays cash. So they give her the difference back in cash. Yeah. I'm like, that's why you're getting money back. She said, but I get money back. I like it. I like it. You know,
but that's the thing. They make her happy.
Yeah.
She walks out of there feeling like she got a better deal.
Yeah.
She still gets the gas that she needs.
Yeah.
She's going to buy it somewhere, but she buys it there because she feels appreciated.
Yeah. She fills up like once a month.
Yeah. You know, and that's,
I think her car's got like 1,000 miles on it in the last six months.
Oh, geez.
Something like that. You should, if you guys are looking for a new car, you should buy my mom's.
Well, and that's what I was going to say is at some point, maybe next year, I'm going to be looking for a car because one of my kids' cars is going to die. And I'm all for buying a used car for cash.
She's got the Buick, not the Enclave, not the Encore. It's the one in between. It's the midsize Buick SUV, and it's black with gray or beige interior. Gray interior, I think.
Well, you tell your mom when she decides she wants to get rid of it. You've got a buyer. I will take it.
Yeah, if you guys are interested, let me know, and I will
be interested.
Yeah, if you guys are interested in buying or leasing or whatever a GM car, my mom can get you the discount. It wouldn't be a big discount because it's just friends, I think. But
because my dad has my dad was 33 years at General Motors.
Oh, okay.
We got that discount for sure. And my wife's dad worked at Ford for 15 years and Chrysler for another 20.
Oh, so you guys got all of them. Yeah.
We got them all.
I can get all of them too. I can get Chrysler, Ford, and GM.
Yeah, we got them all covered. But seriously, though, if she wants to get rid of that used car at some point, I'm all for it.
Yeah, she turns them in with like no miles on them. She drives like a grandma. So if you like the car, it's the Buick Envision.
Yeah, it's fine.
So it's a black Buick Envision with like gray leather interior, I think.
Don't care.
It'll probably be 15,000 miles on it in 3 years, two and a half.
I dig it. Got it. So I'm all for it.
If you guys like it, then if there's a good price on it, maybe we can get you hooked up.
We'll work that out as the time comes. But there's just, again, your mom feels comfortable going to that store. Because she feels appreciated, and that's really what it comes down to. If a business is going to get my business, if I feel like I'm actually somebody walking in there, I'm not just some number of here's $40 or here's $20 or here's $1.50 for the chips. If I walk into the store and they, hey, how you doing? It actually make me feel like I'm part of something. That's the place that's going to get my business.
Yep, yep.
And, you know, there's just, I don't know.
No, I'm with you 100%. I'm very loyal, and if somebody extends me a favor, or extends me some gratitude, or extends me something, then I can become very loyal. Just I go to two party stores. One I like more than the other. I'm not going to mention their names, but they always greet you with a nice hello and how you doing. They always ask how, you know, whatever. They want to know what's new and stuff, and they run a good business, and that's why I go there, you know.
The floors are clean.
Yeah, yeah, it's places spick and span, and they want to know what's going on. And
you would ask me if I was a coffee snob, and
I know you partake in your scotch and maybe your Guinness or two, but I was kind of thinking if you did that, maybe you're a coffee snob. But if I had to guess, I would have said no, only because it was a gut feeling. Like, I have to have, I'm not going to say the best coffee, but I have very specific coffees I drink because I enjoy them. I just can't drink any ordinary. Like, Folgers is fine, but I don't like Folgers. I mean, if I had to drink Folgers, fine. If I had to drink, you know, McDonald's coffee, that's fine. I don't know if I've ever drank a McDonald's coffee, but I'm a Tim Hortons, a Dunkin' Donuts, and then there's some specialty coffees, brewers or roasters that I drink. But I drink them for a very specific reason.
Well, and I'll tell you, I am 8 o'clock coffee. They make a great Columbia.
Yeah, I've seen their name before.
I buy it.
They're at 7-Eleven, aren't they? Isn't it 8 o'clock? Is it 7-Eleven or no? Is that somebody else?
I don't even know. Because here's the thing: is typically I will not buy a pre-made cup of coffee. And if
pre-made,
like go to a store where they make the coffee and then
they make coffee for you. Yeah.
I can count on two hands and have fingers left over the number of times I've actually purchased coffee from Starbucks.
Oh yeah. I'm not a big fan of Starbucks. Well, not at all. I used to go to Einstein. Oh. Einstein had like five or six different coffees. Yeah. I wasn't crazy about any of their coffees. It was a French Euro roast that I used to get. Because I thought I liked it, but it was so strong, I stopped drinking that. And they had a couple other ones, but I'm stuck on Tim Hortons. There's something about Tim Hortons I can't get past.
But see, I love it. That's, you found a flavor you like, and now see here's something. I found that flavor I like with the 8 o'clock coffee, the Colombian, and it's not an expensive coffee. It's I'll go to Meijer and buy you know, a 12-ounce package ground for like $6.
Right, right.
And you know, that's middle of the road. Sometimes it's on sale for $4.99, and I'll buy two or three packages because I make that at work. I have a coffee maker at my desk at work because I refuse to drink Maxwell House. I refuse to drink Folgers.
Right.
And that's what I make at the office is the you know, they buy the, you know, 18-pound bucket of sawdust.
Dirt and sawdust,
and they make that for them, and I won't drink it. But my boss is like, yeah, you want to have a coffee maker at your desk? Fine. And he knows that I'm going to make a half a pot of coffee, and I won't move from my desk until like 11:30.
Right.
I make a pot of coffee at 8:30, and I don't move until 11:30 when, you know, I'm finally full and I got to, you know, empty out. But
what's the coffee in the cups, what do you call those? Yeah, I refuse to drink those. Well, see, and I'll drink them if somebody offers me, but I'll never drink one if I don't have to.
See, I have a Keurig at home.
Yeah.
But it's the off-brand one, and I have the general, you know, like you can put your own grounds in.
Yeah.
The little basket thing. So
it has the French press. I do French press every morning if I'm not drinking Tim Horton.
But this one is it's the Keurig type thing where you can put the pods in.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Or put the replacement thing in, and it makes, you know, you can fill your own. So
yeah,
you know,
I do that.
But I fill it up with 8 o'clock, you know, or I'll go to Menards and buy a box of 150 for like $20. 150 pods or something like that for $20, the whatever brand, but it's decent enough, and you put enough whiskey in it, it's delicious.
Of course, of course. Mm-hmm. Little Bailey's.
Well, that's for Sundays only. And I haven't done that in a long time because I've been working on the weekends.
Yeah.
So you
still getting bonuses over there?
Well, actually, this past weekend, I'm not sure if I mentioned it on Sunday when we talked last, but most of us underwriters took the weekend off and just really, because we've been going hard for, you know, 28 days, like a month and a half or even longer. And every weekend has been some kind of crazy bonus shit. And nobody participated in the bonus this past weekend. We're just burned out and tired. And it was nice because, you know, like I said, I pulled all the stuff out of my garden and was messing around with that and just had a nice relaxing weekend. I didn't really accomplish anything. I didn't really do anything special or go golfing or any of that stuff. I haven't golfed in a year and a half.
Well, we gotta get out and golf at least one time.
We gotta do that. But, you know, it was nice to have just kind of a soft, quiet weekend.
Yeah.
Not worry about work. And I'm looking at, I did this actually this morning. I was like, I'm looking at what we've got coming in and what I see in my queue for the week. And I'm like, we're going to have to do, there's going to be a weekend something going on this time. And I'm like, I'm doing it. I've already convinced myself I'm doing it this weekend. And I'm just going to go hog freaking wild.
Yeah.
You know, and I figure tomorrow and Friday, I'm not going to be home. And then Saturday, you know, is another, you know, because I do, I'll go to work in the morning and then I'll go hang out with my mom for the afternoon. And then I'll probably, once that's all over with, I'll go back to work around 5 or 6 o'clock at night and keep cranking and then work all day Sunday.
Right, right, right.
Just to make this shit happen. And, you know, if they're paying me, I'm doing it.
Fuck yeah. Mm-hmm. I hear you. I know I got to hunker down and get my mortgage license. I haven't done that yet. I keep getting sidetracked. It's my own fault.
Well, you gotta take your test. You got to do your stuff. You got to pass. And you got to get yourself going, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, can you still hear the music in the background? I mean,
no.
It's actually to the next. It's in between songs for the moment. But you haven't heard anything?
No.
In the past a couple minutes? All right.
No.
That's all right. It's good for me, keeping me.
What do you think you want to talk about on Sunday?
You know, I don't know.
It's my birthday on Sunday, so it's going to be a birthday podcast. Big 50.
Oh, that'll be great. You know,
my mom and I are going to go out and do something, I'm sure.
You going to be what now? The 50. Actual 50? I thought you were 50, 50 already.
No, 49 plus 1 is what I'm going to be. So it's hard to say 50.
50. So I'm going to be, let's see, what is this, 2020?
Yeah.
I guess I'm going to be 52 this year then. That makes sense.
Yeah.
They well, threw a happy 50th.
I had bug tickets for you on your 50th birthday, but you declined.
What did you have for me?
I had the tickets for you.
Oh, yeah, because I told you. I don't want to see my heroes.
Party for me. I'm like, well, have it the next day. I got the tickets. Royal Oak Music Theater.
The and like the Smiths and a couple other bands are like the Cure. I never want to go see because I don't want to meet my heroes.
No, I know. I saw the Replacements back when I was like 15. And I have no interest in seeing them. They put on the best show back then. I have no, and I still remember it. I have no interest in seeing them again. I don't. And they came back and they played and it's not going to be the same. It's like the Pixies are a little bit different and some of these other bands are a little bit different, like the Cult. And I can see those guys, whatever. It's not a big deal. But Replacements, they're not going to put a better show on what they did 30 years ago.
I'd love to see the Love and Rockets.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
and that would be a show that I would actually go see.
Yeah,
But yeah, you know, you're right. But no, what I was going to say is, my work threw a happy 50th for me like almost 2 years ago now.
Yeah,
I still have 50 you know, they put hanging 50, you know, old fart and all this other stuff. All that stuff is still, it's a year and a half later, it's still hanging in my office.
That's good.
I don't care. As far as I'm concerned, I'm still 50-ish.
Right. I don't feel a day over 35. They say I don't look over 35 either. So I'm wrong.
Right. No, I believe you.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
What do you think? What do you want to talk about? Yeah, a little bit. What do you want to talk about on Sunday? Any ideas?
I don't know. We'll figure it out.
You want to talk about?
We always do.
All right. It's a turn 50. It's a turn 50 show. So.
Yeah, I'll text Willie and we'll do something special, he and I, for you.
I'll see you. I got a friend of mine, another Kim, that wants to come on and be a part of our podcast. She seems to think that our podcast is full of thousands of people, but I haven't told her yet. It's only a few people, but she wants to come on and talk about politics and stuff, and so maybe we'll have her on Sunday. Yeah. If she's available. She's been a longtime friend of mine, and she's a lot of fun, and she's Republican, and she might have a few things. She's not a person to bring on to argue with, but she might. She's a lot of you get some laughs out of her, and she's a lot of fun to kind of be around. So good friend of mine.
Well, you know, I've never been worried about Republican, Democrat, gay or straight, any of that stuff. As long as you're a fun person, I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
I'm not here to argue life. I'm here to ask questions and let's all think about it.
Yeah.
You know, and if someone says something to me that makes me think about something differently than I had thought before, awesome.
You know what's funny? You know, we often talk about what song's in your head. You know? When you brought up the whole thing about Trump being on the face of Mount Rushmore, it's kind of stuck in my head. Same way a song is. It's like, at what point in your life, I mean, I get he's a president, but as a president of the United States, at what point in your life or as a president do you think you belong on Mount Rushmore? You know,
and that's the thing. As far as I understand it, Mount Rushmore wasn't like commissioned by Teddy Roosevelt. You know, he didn't say, I want my face on this.
Yeah. How did it come about? Do you know?
I don't.
And what face on it for what reasons?
But you think about it, it wasn't like one of the four guys' faces that are on there are the ones that said, we need to do this. It was somebody came up with the idea and said, we should do this. And, you know, and as much as it's still an affront to the Native Americans that we decided we're going to take over your blessed land and put the aggressors' faces in front of you forever. It's not something you invite yourself to be part of.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It's crazy.
Hey, Nonsense. Thanks for sharing us. Appreciate it, brother.
Thanks, Nonsense. Our mentor.
But, Trump throwing his face and deciding that he wants to be on it, that's not the way to do it.
No.
You know, it's not like you don't ask to be vice president. You're invited to be vice president.
Right. Exactly.
You don't ask to be on Mount Rushmore. You're invited to be on Mount Rushmore.
Right. Exactly. It's crazy the way people
just think. I don't even want to get started on it, but
it might be a good show for Sunday.
We'll do something fun for your Sunday birthday.
Come up with something.
Sunday, is Sunday actual day?
Yeah, 16th. The day Elvis died. We can talk about Elvis. The day that Flight 255 went down at Metro, the one girl survived. Madonna was born on my birthday. You want to talk about Madonna? Nice. I think Madonna is a borderline marketing genius. People might argue with me about that, but I think she's borderline.
I will say this.
She can't really sing. That's true. Borderline. But there's some topics to talk about.
All sorts of stuff. You know, I think Willie and I are going to do something special for you. That'll be fun.
Yeah, that's good. Maybe sing me happy birthday.
Eric, why don't you do the part where you tell people where they can find us?
So we are Low Standards and Pours. You can find us on YouTube. You can find us on Deezer. You can find us on Spotify. You can find us on iTunes. You can find us on Google Podcasts. You can find us on
Podcasts.
Yeah, Google Podcasts. You can find us on, which ones am I missing? I got to think. iHeartRadio. And we always encourage people to call in, ask questions. This is our 24th podcast. We're still virgins, but I think we're gaining some
comments.
We've got almost 400 downloads, which is good. You know, not bad for a 24 podcast.
And only 384 of them are me.
Yeah. If there's anything that you can suggest to make us more interesting or whatever. I want to do a shout out to my friend Jeff, Wreckhouse Ramblings. If you're outdoorsman, if you like a good story about historical facts and stuff, he puts on a great podcast, Wreckhouse Ramblings. Take a listen. Also, you know, it's funny. I was looking up a good buddy of mine was doing a podcast. I think they were in the 200s. It was. Beats and Brews, something Beats and Brews. But I think they have since stopped. Their last podcast was on March. So I'm not really sure what's going on with that. But
Rackhouse, he's the first responder, isn't he?
Yes. Yeah. He's a fireman. Yeah. Fireman Warren. Yep.
He's been around. He's seen some stuff.
Yeah,
he's talked to him a couple times.
Yeah, he's been on our show once or twice, and maybe we'll have him on again. And he stays pretty busy, and he's a good guy. I've known him for a long time, and he's got some good stories about what actually goes on out there. And it gives you a different perspective on really what happens. And basically, what he tells us is that, you know, the people that are causing the problems are the same people. It's just you have to learn how to manage these people and keep them, you know.
Well, and I think I got to get my boy Kevin, one of my neighbors who's the retired fireman in my city. He's got some good stories. We should get him.
We'll do that. And you know what we should do too is, since we've got the time, we should probably dig into some hand grenades. And some other bands, maybe get your brother back on, do a cameo appearance, and let him talk about what might be happening for Hamtramck, and also maybe parlay that with some conversations with hand grenades and stuff, and see what they're up to these days. And
I've actually been trying to poke around a little bit, and get in touch with some of these guys, but everybody's so busy.
Yeah,
we gotta figure out a way to get in touch with these guys and actually have a nice conversation about that. But I like the idea.
I'm with
you. I'm sort of ahead of the game, but I haven't really gotten any responses back. But like I said, everybody's running around doing all sorts of crazy stuff because everybody's so busy. Either they're super busy or they're completely bored.
I agree.
Or the other. And so far, the guys that I've been trying to contact are super busy.
So. Well, let's do this. Let's put some thoughts together for Sunday. Mm-hmm. Sunday, 9 o'clock, Low Standards and Pours, episode number 25. It's going to be Where the Hell is Bill? Bill's going to be the host. And it's going to be my 50th birthday party.
It's going to be
a great party. And we'll be on board. Yeah. Okay. And let's see if we can rock this one out.
Well, that's been Eric.
And that's been Bill.
Last I checked.
Low Standards and Poor. It's episode number 24, Wednesday, August 12th.
In the bank.
Yeah, it's it was a good podcast. It was kind of a free for all. It was nice
getting you.
I had fun too. Yeah, I hope Nonsense Dan, Emilio, and Henry, I think, listening.
And the two other people that are not related to us who were listening.
Yeah, we were up to 400, almost 400 downloads. So we're getting there. We're getting there.
It's going to turn around for us, and you know we are going to continue to do the thing that we like to do.
Yeah.
And somebody's going to find us and go, "Oh, that these guys are fun." And
we're going worldwide.
Yeah, or neighborhood wide. Well, at least
neighborhood wide. Yeah, let's start with neighborhood wide first. But anyways, we'll see you on Sunday, 9 o'clock. Another great show. Bill?
Yeah, if you say so.
It's been nice talking to you.
Yeah, yeah. Hang up on me.
I will. About ready to do right now.
Yeah, go ahead. Hang up.
Yep. Oh, no, I'm going to hang up right now.
I got to go pet the neighbor's dog.
Yeah. Be nice to it.
Yeah, yeah, whatever. Get out of my face.
All right.
Hang up.
All right. Chum in. Talk to my son. All right. Love you, brother. Up.